Hymn number 402, let's go ahead and stand together as we sing 402, Footsteps of Jesus, 402.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come unto me. And we see where thy footprints falling, lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway grow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go.
Let's have the ladies on the second stanza. Everyone now.
Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway go. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go.
It's the men's turn, verse 3.
If they lead through the temple,
then at last when on high he sees our journey done,
we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at his throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of
take our songbooks one more time, and this time turn to 398. We're going to sing, May the Lord Find Us Faithful. We'll remain seated as we sing 398. We'll sing all three stanza. Orchestra will be dismissed on the third stanza.
God has not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the strength to obey. With power and sound mind, with love the unfailing kind, oh, be not ashamed of his way. is a soldier who passeth the test. Be faithful, be working, be running, be searching, his work with best. May the Lord find us faithful. May his word be our banner held high. May the Lord find us faithful. Every day though we live, though we die, on the last, living or dying, may honor be thine. From this wretched life you loved and forgave, a life that is on fire, be only our heart's desire. Be faithful from now to the grave. May the Lord find us faithful. May his word be our banner held high. May the Lord find us faithful. Every day though we live, though we die.
Wonderful singing. Please, just before the message, we have special music.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us. Seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
Amen. We'll invite our little tykes for truth to be dismissed at this time. I never get this right. Second grade and down, first grade and down. Somewhere in there. All right. We'll let them slip on out with their teachers here. Head to their class. I appreciate my wife. I appreciate Karen, Sharon, those that fill in. Do a great job. You don't usually get to see my wife teach, but she is a tremendous teacher. I can brag on her a little bit. All right. And she went to school for that, elementary ed. God gifted her in that. Great teacher. She was far better teacher than I was. How do I know that? Because her students and parents loved her. All right. That wasn't always true of me. So she's much nicer, kinder, compassionate, gracious. And she comes alive. You ever get her in the classroom, she comes alive. You've never had a chance to see her. She does a great job. And she works hard. She studies. She studies in the afternoon on Sundays. She studies with her books. She's getting ready for that class. And I appreciate the ladies that are helping. Appreciate all of our teachers. Some of you are gifted in that and not teaching. Some of you are gifted in teaching. Some of you are not that gifted, but you're serving. And the Lord can take that and use you. And I appreciate each of you that are involved in the ministry. Romans chapter 10 tonight. Romans chapter 10. I invite you to turn. There's a Bible in front of you within arm's distance if you don't have one. And Romans chapter 10 is where we're going to be in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John make up the Gospels, the book of Acts, and then the book of Romans, the first of Paul's epistles, Paul's letters. Romans chapter 10 here tonight. We finished the book of Jude a couple weeks ago. We're in a little bit of a transitional time here with Easter and services. Again, next Sunday night, we're going to have a lot of singing, pick a favorite from the hymn book, pick a favorite stanza, do some songs. Maybe you say, we never get to sing that one. I don't think everybody knows that one. We're going to do that. And that's always, you're going to be here, right? Or no, you're going to be gone. All right, we'll put somebody on the spot then. I don't know we'll see who's going to be here. It might be me on the spot, all right? Who knows? Nathan, somebody, we'll see who's here as a song director. Pianists that sometimes test the piano players, all right? Just remember, if you pick a song nobody knows, you have to come up and lead it and sing it so everybody hears. So don't pick too challenging of one if you think you're clever, all right? But we'll do some singing. We've got two young men, whatever you want to call them, all right? Men are going to be preaching, opening the Word of God. And you come, be ready to be an encouragement and a blessing to them. Romans chapter 10. So we're on a two-week transitional in between Easter and things going on. And if you were here last week, we did a little bit. We're taking a look at sharing the gospel, what it means to be a soul winner, sharing Christ with the lost world. Tonight's title, pretty simple, you can do it. Tonight's title, you can do it. Sharing Jesus Christ to a lost world. Hey, you can do it. You can do it. A lot of times you start talking about soul winning, evangelism. There's a lot of people that already mentally shut down and they've already said, not me. That's not for me. I can't do it. Tried before. Failed. I'm not qualified. I can't do it. I can't. All these excuses start coming out. And but I want you to know from the Word of God, you can do it. You can do it. And God can and will enable you. And so I want to be encouragement to you tonight, a challenge. Romans 10, familiar verses, but don't let the familiarity keep you from reading them for yourself here tonight. Romans 10, let's take a look at verses 12 through 15 as we sort of jump off tonight's message. You can do it. Romans 10, verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, or we could say the Jew and the Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Now, if you believe that, say amen. Some of you, hopefully you knew what your amen in there, all right? There is no difference between a Jew, the Greek, a Gentile. We're all the same. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Now, that builds on the verse that we all can probably quote, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Wow. All right, well, now we know what happens. Those are tremendous verses. The same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. Whosoever, that is every single person, every man, every woman, every boy, every child, every nation, every culture, every creed, every language has the opportunity to receive Christ and the free gift of salvation. Whosoever, we say amen to that, but now we come to the series of questions. The series of questions, verse 14. How? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now I want to pause here briefly. We'll keep reading. We need preachers. We need pastors. I believe there are many men today in America and the world that God has called and desires them to be a pastor and a preacher, and they've either not answered it or they've disqualified themselves. There may be some men here tonight, God's called you. He is calling you, and you need to answer that call. That word preacher, though, we need preachers, and praise God for godly preachers, but that doesn't just mean the office of a preacher. I think a lot of people read that, and they've all made, well, not me, I don't worry about that. I'm not a preacher. I'll never be a preacher. I'm a female. I'm a woman. God didn't make me do it. No. How shall they call on him? Or I'm sorry. How shall they hear without a preacher, without a proclaimer, without a herald, without a messenger? How are they going to hear without someone telling them? Verse 15. And how shall they preach or proclaim except they be sent? As it is written. Anytime you see as it is written, that's going to be an Old Testament reference. As it is written in the scriptures previously. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We're not preaching on those verses. You've heard preaching on those. You'll hear preaching on those. That's an unusual phrase, though, right? We don't associate feet with beauty. Most here tonight would be embarrassed to show your feet, though ladies obviously more than men during the summertime, the flip-flops and things like that. But the vast majority of us would be embarrassed. We don't look at feet as beautiful necessarily. They do what needs to be done, and maybe there's hard parts on the bottom or bunions or, oh, man, oh. But the Bible says to God, how beautiful are the feet. Because you know what? You've heard this. Wherever your feet go, you go. Wherever your feet go, you go. Think of the children's song. Well, be careful, little feet, where you go. Why? Because it could lead you astray. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach, that proclaim, that herald the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. There's that question. How shall they hear without a proclaimer, without a preacher, without a messenger? So that brings us tonight. Now, our theme verse for the year, can you say it with me? Mark 16:15. I know sometimes, we'll just say the simple verse. Sometimes we forget, is it he said unto them and he spake unto them and Jesus, okay, we'll just get the meat of it, all right? Ready? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All right, that's the theme. Hey, that is the will of God. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, that's his clear will. That's his clear command. Yet it says here, how are they going to hear without a preacher, without one of us heralding that? And so I want to challenge you tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to stir you up a little bit tonight. You can do it. Every one of us here tonight can be an effective soul winner. Everyone here tonight can be an effective share of the gospel. Don't let anybody go, I can't do that. What about flipping? You know, we have that. It's on your refrigerator. It's on your living room. I can do all things. It's on your Bible bookmark. Whoops, I can't. You can. Let me ask you if you've ever said these out loud or in your heart when it comes to soul winning, sharing the gospel. I can't do it. I'm not a good speaker. My mind is slow. My speech is weak. I'm shy by nature. I'm a new Christian. I don't know enough for the Bible, etc., etc., etc. Now, the one common theme of all of that is I. Now, we don't like to pounce on that because we're proud people, but I can't. I'm not able. I can't do it. Uh-oh. We got to get our eyes off the eyes and on to the Lord. I can't. I'm not able to. Let me give you all the reasons why I'm just not able to do that. When it comes to soul winning and sharing Christ, and yet we could go to Exodus 4. We won't turn to that tonight. Moses, remember that? Moses, I'm sending you to Egypt. Amen. I'm going to set my people free. Amen. I've heard their cry. I'm going to deliver them. Amen. I'm sending the deliverer. Amen. It's you. I can't do that. Now that's us. Lord, you made a mistake. No. And then we know Moses has a series of, again, now let's remember, he's 80. At 40, he thought he was the one. He knew it. He was ready. It was all about him. And God had to humble him. God had to break him. God had to teach him. And he went through that. Now, God said, you're now ready. He said, I can't do that. I used to be eloquent. I was a mighty man of word and deed, the Bible says in Acts. But not anymore. I mean, I've been a shepherd. I don't do much talking anymore. I'm just out with the sheep. I don't talk a whole lot. I can't do that anymore. I used to be able to do that. And he goes through the series of, well, they won't believe me. But I can't, okay? And you know, he says, Lord, I'm slow of tongue. I'm slow of speech. I'm just not able to do that. You know, that's really oftentimes the number one excuse given when it comes to being a soul winner, sharing Christ, going with the church. Can't do it. And yet, anybody remember the Lord's answer to Moses' excuse there? Who made your mouth, Moses?
Well, you did.
So if I made your mouth, am I not able then to enable you, to help you, to teach you? I will put my words in your mouth, and then Moses, I send somebody else. We know what happened there. We see what God did. We're reminded of Jeremiah. He's been with us on Wednesday nights. We just covered Jeremiah a little bit ago. When God came to Jeremiah and said, I've ordained thee and sanctified thee before you were even born in the womb, you're going to be my prophet. And Jeremiah said, oh, no, Lord, I can't do that. I'm a child. And the idea there is, I'm not qualified. I'm not trained in that. I've never been a prophet before. I didn't go to prophet school. I can't do that, Lord. I'm not the one. And the Lord said to him, be not afraid of their faces. And Jeremiah didn't say anything about faces. That's another reason a lot of people get, but I can't do that. I could never talk to people. I couldn't teach. I couldn't, their faces scare me. People come to the door, or my coworker gives me, he said, don't be afraid of their faces, Jeremiah. And then he said, Jeremiah, I'm with thee, and I will put my words in your mouth. I'm not looking for you to invent any brand new words. You're not coming up with your own plan of salvation. You're just my messenger. You're just going to tell them what I'm right here. All you are is my mouthpiece. When it comes to soul winning, we oftentimes, and I do it, we'll look in the mirror. I can't, not me, not me. And we get our eyes off the Lord, and that's a false humility. He can. He is able. I'm just supposed to be his mouthpiece. I'm not having to come up with brand new stuff. I'm just supposed to say, here's what the Bible says. And let God and His Word and Holy Spirit take it from there. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. You're in Romans, just a couple pages to your right probably. 3 or 4 pages probably. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hey, when you think of the Apostle Paul, and we've been covering him in adult Sunday school class, most of us think, whoa, I mean, no way I could ever be him. I mean, he's just, whoa. I mean, the missionary journeys, I mean, his fearlessness in the face of stoning and persecution, his bulldog tenacity of not quitting, his love for people and just traveling and up and down mountains and boats and people, and his passion for the Jews, his passion for the Gentiles. I mean, writing of this, whoa, I mean, Paul is just a giant. Oh my goodness, whoa. Have you read his letters? Where did you come up with that opinion? Are you sure you didn't just pick that up from other people who don't really know the Bible? Let's see what he says about himself. Let's see if you would be impressed if he was the guest speaker and we had special services with the Apostle Paul. He said, I've never seen him. Boy, I've heard a lot about him. I can't wait to. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be at those services. We're having one of the most legendary preachers, missionaries of all time. Whoa. And then all of a sudden, you know how we do? Now, today we look up people up ahead of time on Facebook. We want to see the preacher. Who's Caleb Reed? What's he look like? Who's Morris Gleiser? Let's find out about his family. Let's see his Facebook page. Let's find everything we know about him so when they come here, we know. But you couldn't do that in the old days. So you're like, hey, guys, I think he's here. I think he just pulled up. Who? The Apostle Paul. And then we see him and that's not Apostle Paul. Who's that? That's Apostle Paul. That's Paul? Oh, come on. And we look at him through the lens of our world. He doesn't have a lot going for him. He's a lot shorter than I thought. Now, we don't know all of this. I'm just speculating, but he's hunchbacked a little bit. Maybe he's a little bit bald. And we evaluate based on human. And we were looking for a dynamic Apollos, mighty, eloquent, spellbinding, capture every little thing. Maybe Paul gets up and maybe he just keeps his head down the whole time.
Oh, like preachers like that.
Maybe he's just monotone. Maybe he just reads. You remember the fickle crowd with Jesus? Remember? Well, now John the Baptist came eating and drinking. That doesn't mean alcohol. He came, he was outgoing and boom, boom, and you said, pluh. And now the Son of Man came, it was the opposite of that. John the Baptist didn't come knowing that. He was more, and then Jesus comes and he's fellowshipping and eating, and nobody pleased you. You know, that preacher, he's too Too humorous, not enough humor. Too eloquent, not eloquent enough. Too many illustrations, not, you know, he said, that's the crowd. Now, what about the Apostle Paul? Was he a mighty speaker? Boy, you read his letters, you're like, wow. I mean, boom, hard hitting, what a man. Well, let's see what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with eloquency of speech or of wisdom. Are those not two of the main reasons people say they can't soul win? I can't speak good, and I don't know a lot. I did not come to you with eloquency of speech. Now, I'm not here to say that he was a poor speaker. We know from our Sunday school, he was a Pharisee. He was trained. God, he was out in those areas. But I didn't come with those things, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You know, when you go soul-winning, sometimes you do a lot of trembling. Being afraid does not eliminate you from what God has called us to do. Being fearful is not an out. If God's called you to preach, just because you're afraid. If God's called you to be a missionary, that's not the reason. No. I was with you in trembling and in fear. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. You would have not have been impressed if you've been raised with a worldly, you know, hey, it's got to be, keep my attention, be fast, quick, keep, you know, if not, oh, come on. My preaching was not that way. It wasn't enticing words of man's wisdom. Hey, there's some preaching on TV. There's some different religions and people that we might even call false prophets who are very powerful speakers. Very engaging, very charismatic as far as personality of the word. I mean, very good, polished, powerful, know when to pause, dramatic, illustrations. I mean, they can hold your attention. That's great. Paul said, I didn't come that way. I didn't have enticing words. You weren't spellbound by my presentation and what I was doing. Verse 4, at the end of verse 4, but I came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There's a lot of people today, they're facing the wisdom of men. They're attracted to men and personalities. And I came, and you know what? A lot of people made fun of me. You read them, they made fun of me. They said, look at him. He's not an apostle. Who does he think he is? He's not even very eloquent. Oh, my goodness. They said, I came so that everybody would be in the power of God. Hey, flip over to Ephesians chapter 6. We would probably say the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest, if not greatest soul winners of all time. Certainly based on Scripture, maybe not in modern times, but based on the Bible, you'd say, I don't know anybody that had a love for people, that didn't quit. If anybody should have quit, it was Paul, but he loved people, the gospel. But was he never afraid? He was afraid. You think there were times where he was scared? You think he ever disobeyed the Lord? I believe so. He was human like us. How do I know that? Well, remember his prayer in Ephesians 6:19. Maybe this is one all of us ought to memorize. Maybe you have memorized it, praise the Lord. Ephesians 6:19. He asked a personal prayer request of the church at Ephesus and says, and for me, now remember, he's in prison, and that for me, that utterance, you say, well, how do you know he's asked for prayer? Because verse 18 says, praying always. So he's continuing the theme of praying, and he says, I have a prayer request. Please pray for me, the Apostle Paul, that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. What? The Apostle Paul is asking prayer? Please pray for me. I need your prayers. I need to ask the Lord to open my mouth boldly. I've been timid. I've been a little bit afraid. Pray that I would have power and boldness from the Lord to share the gospel as I should. Now let's imagine if we were him. Now if we were in prison, maybe you'd say that would be easy. You're in prison, you got nowhere to go. Might as well just be a soul winner. But what if what if the Roman guards got upset? What if they said, this guy's annoying us, just kill him? You might be timid and be like, I better just keep my mouth shut. They don't like that. What if word gets back and they, I just need to pray for me. Pray for me. I need to open my mouth boldly. I've not been doing that. Wow. Now, if that's a prayer of the Apostle Paul, that's my prayer. More times than not, I've not opened my mouth boldly as I ought to. Hey, you can do it. You can do it. Soul winning is not personality based. We often think that it's the outgoing person who's never knows a stranger. And you know what? They can be great soul winners as well. They can also become proud. They can rely on their personality, their talent, their speaking ability. But they may not. Sometimes it's the person who's the least eloquent, the least who thinks they can do it, that God uses. Here's the key. Did God command us to be, in a way, soul winners? Yes. Does He want the gospel to go out? Yes. Is it His will and desire that all men would be saved? Yes. So then it's a matter of obedience. It's not, nothing else. I'm either obeying or not. I like what one person said. There's two types of people typically in churches. Those who talk about the lost and those who talk to the lost. Those who talk about the lost and talk about missions, and then there's those who talk to them and share Christ on a regular basis. So I want to ask you a pointed question, rhetorical. Who are you praying about specifically that you are either currently sharing the gospel with or desiring to? Who are you asking? How many souls have you asked God for this year? Have you asked God for any souls? Have you said, oh God, just one this year. I just long to lead one person to Jesus Christ. Some of you maybe have a little more faith. God, give me five. Oh God, I'm asking. Oh, it's not of me, God. Are you praying for anybody specific? Let me ask you, when you pray for lost people, what do you pray? Lord, save them. Okay, God wants to save them. Lord, send someone to them. Be careful on that one. Could be you. Lord, help them to be saved. I mean, a lot of times we don't really know what to pray. We just say, Lord, I long to see my aunt, my uncle, my brother, my sister, my husband, my wife, my best friend, my neighbor. Oh, God, please save them. Don't let them go to... But we don't know what to do other than that. Lord, send me to them. Lord, maybe they're in another state. God, send them a believer. Send them a preacher. Knock on their door. Send them a Christian. Now, think about it. If you're praying for somebody in another state or another place for someone to go to them... What if someone there is praying for someone here to go to them? What if you're the one? Someone in another state saying, oh God, I've got a relative in Duryea. I've got a person in West Piston. I've got somebody in DuPont, Scranton. Oh God, I don't know. If there's a Christian around, would you send it to them? Just like you're praying sometimes. God, send out someone to him who knows Christ. Send them a Christian doctor. Send them to a Christian, somebody that'll share Jesus Christ. What you're asking is... Send someone to them who will open their mouth and share the gospel with them. Now, can we pray that and not do that? Can we pray and long for someone else to do it while someone else could be praying for someone right around here? Well, we don't do it. You say, oh my goodness, I can do it. With God's help, we can. It's called trusting and obeying. Hey, last week I gave you a rough story because I couldn't remember it and I found it. So let me give you the true story. I was jumping around. I told you I'd read this story, but I couldn't remember it. I gave you the bits and pieces, but I found it. So I gave you this example. This is a true story. Imagine you had to share your faith, share Christ, with a man whose name was Nate or Nathan. True story. This man is in the upper 1% of intelligence in the world and can read 1,250 words a minute with total recall. Imagine that this man, who's so bright, he not only scored one of the highest scores of all time on the Mensa test, IQ test, but he even found an error in the test while taking it. And imagine that God laid on your heart to share Christ with this brilliant man, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I can't do that. This guy will just run circles around me. He's a giant. He's going to ask me the crazy. I will never be able to answer him. I mean, I'm going to look like a fool. I can't do it. Now, who do you think God sent to Nate? Now, Nate was a hard case. He'd been an atheist for over 20 years. And his favorite hobby was tearing apart religions, especially Christians. So who'd God send? I'm going to send a brilliant giant who's even more brilliant. No, A Nobel Peace Prize winner? No. Some famous apologetic? No. God sent him a man named John, a Blackfoot Indian with a 12th grade education. Nate was in the armed services riding a bus with John. Other soldiers kept throwing John's Bible out the window to tease him. John would patiently get off the bus and go get his Bible, never complaining. Nate said, "Why do you let those clowns do that to you?" And John said, "Sir, I am a Christian." Now, up until this point, Nate had never attacked John or his faith. Now, he had successfully shredded many other world religions. He Yet Christianity had stumped him a little bit, so he hadn't really done that. But now he decided, I'm going to challenge this little guy because he don't know nothing. So Nate said, you mean to tell me you believe somebody got vomited out of the mouth of a whale? And sometimes that'll happen. You're like, oh my goodness, I can't do this. Now, the simple man of faith, John, just said, yes, sir. Why? John said, my Bible tells me so. No matter what question Nate threw at John, John replied with either a yes or no, and simply, my Bible tells me so. That's it. Nothing fancy? Nothing else. That's it. Nate's great mind could not shake this simple man's faith, and it shook him and it irritated him. That night, Nate went home because he was very intellectual, and he said, I'm going to borrow a Bible. I'm going to shred him to pieces. And he read it over the weekend. And as he read, he was going through the book of Job. And God used Job 5:9, now a verse that most of us would just jump right over, but this is a very brilliant man. That verse simply says this, talking about God, which doeth great things and unsearchable. This man's not going to be able to know it all. Marvelous things without number. That little verse, think about that, the power of the Bible, one that you and I would read and we probably never even looked at it. God who does great things and unsearchable, far above man, marvelous things without number. Nate could not ignore that truth. It pierced him like a sword. It transformed his life. He came to know Christ as Savior, became one of the best defenders of the Christian faith, almost like an Apostle Paul saw. How did this happen? Some intellectual giant that had gone to seminary and Bible college and no, I just believed the Bible. But I got to be able to answer everything. Maybe you don't have all the answers. A simple man of faith, 12th grade education, living out Zechariah, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's always going to be God anyways. It's never going to be us. It's just a matter if we're willing vessels. If we delight to see God use a clay broken vessel, say, God, I cannot do it. I'm scared to my boots. I cannot do it. You know I've tried in the past. Lord, you're going to have to use someone else. Maybe it's time you're just saying, Lord, please forgive me for saying I can't. Lord, I'm confessing my sin of pride. I mean, after all, what's pride? Everybody knows, right? What's the middle letter in pride? I. What's the middle letter in sin? I. All right, it's usually an I. We say a lot of I's. Lord, forgive me. I've been proud. It's not humility. I can't do it. I'm focused on me. Lord, I can do it with your help. Oh, Lord, help me. Help my faith. You and I need to begin to pray. Maybe you are. Praise the Lord. We have some folks in here that are. So you share Christ regularly. Probably have to battle some pride there. Maybe you are eloquent. Sometimes that'll get to your head. And you'll just go through the motions like a smooth machine. And the heart will be cold and God can still use you even though you're just doing it out of habit. Ask God. When's the last time you asked God for an opportunity to share your faith? Lord, give me an opportunity Monday. Now don't be generic, Lord, sometime down the road. Lord, I'm asking this week, oh God, test my faith. Lord, you know I'm weak. You know I can't. Lord, you know I get very scared with this. Oh Lord, nothing scares me more. Lord, I want to obey your commands, but I just don't think I can do it, Lord. But Lord, please, I'm asking you, help me. Lord, help me. Give me an opportunity this week. Lord, open some doors. Give me an opportunity to share Christ. Prompt my heart. Now, here's what happens. You have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, you can't speak to every single person every single day. Holy Spirit may prompt your heart. Now, that means you have to be walking with the Lord. You have to have a tender spirit. You have to be filled with the Spirit. You have to be sensitive to that. You feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit to give a tract. You obey that. Feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit to go sit by that coworker. You're on a train. You're on a plane. Wherever. You know, you initiate it. All right? You ask the Lord. You're nervous. You're scared. All right, Lord. They don't want to talk. They got headphones on. They're on their phone. Their eyes are closed. You know, there's different opportunities, different places. But if you've been praying for opportunities, that means you're looking for opportunities, right? It's like when you're looking to buy a house, you don't just pray. You go out, everybody looking. You're looking on, you're looking on real estate books. You're looking on Zillow. You're also looking. You're not just sitting there expecting a house just to pop up. You're praying and you're looking. You're looking for a job. You don't just say, Lord, give me a job. You're looking for jobs. You're asking people. So we should be praying for souls, but we also should be looking for souls at the same time. And you need to also then be studying your Bible because here's what happens. If you go knocking on doors with the church, or you're handed a card to go make a follow-up visit with somebody, or Lord prompts your heart to go to a neighbor, or you see someone at Easter, a family member, and it's all over, everybody's sitting around watching you, I'm going to go in there and sit by Uncle George. Uncle George's not a believer. He gets a little antagonistic, but God's really laid Uncle George in my heart. And so I'm going to go in there and just sort of sit by him and say, all right, Lord, what do I say next? Help me out here. All right, I'm gonna do my best here. You know, and you begin to do it, and maybe you come up with some things. And again, there's some training perhaps, but it's a matter of faith. And maybe they do ask you a question. You say, oh my goodness, I don't know the answer. All right, but here's what happens when you soul win. You don't wait for the burden. You go out there and you get the burden as you're out. And you realize nobody wants to hear. I can't believe they all believe the wrong thing. Why is everybody not interested? Or what's going on, everybody? But you're getting the idea. And what that does is it drives you to more prayer. It gives you a deeper burden. If someone asks you a question you don't know, you say, wow, that is a great question. I do not know that answer in any way. Wow, I'll have to get back to you. I'll have to ask my pastor. I'll have to ask somebody else. I will get back to you on that. All right? You don't have to. It's okay. And then what does that drive you to do? You get in the book. You're like, whoa, I got to figure out that answer for myself. They asked me a question about God and salvation and sin, and so I don't know the answer to that one, so I'm not going to give up. Well, I don't know what they're going to say. I'm going to become a student of the Word. Now, how would I answer that person? Lord, that's a great question. Before I even ask anybody else, before I even Google, all right, I'm going to say, all right, Lord, wow, I got to pray over that one. I got to get back to that person. Lord, use me now. I got to get. And again, so what? You're becoming a student of the Bible. All right, you're getting in the Scripture. You say, all right, Lord, I believe you gave me an answer for that. I'm going to go back, give the best answer I can. I think the Scriptures gives me something there to share. All right, you've heard it. Starve your fears and feed your faith. All right, starve them. Don't give them opportunities. Now, I want to challenge you here in these last few minutes. I want you to go to the book of Jonah. Old Testament, a little harder to find. Book of Jonah. And then I want to share a couple practical things. And then we're going to put in practice. We're going to finish tonight with a little bit of a prayer meeting. All right? We're not having our prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We're having family night. So tonight, on a Sunday night, there's someone here, you've never been with us on a Wednesday night. You've never been to a Wednesday night midweek prayer service where we take prayer requests and we break up into groups. Well, tonight you're going to get you to do that. All right? We're going to spend some time toward the end and pray. We're not taking prayer requests. We're going to pray specifically for folks who need Christ. You probably have some people you already know, family members that are dear to your heart. You probably have some people you pray for all the time. But you're going to have an opportunity tonight to pray with a small group, two or three people, four people praying together tonight and putting our prayers before the Lord. All right, I want to warn all of us, though, because I need this warning, because I can find myself doing this. Jonah. I want to beware of any of us being a Jonah Christian. Now, I realize the term Christian wasn't used in the Old Testament. I realize the gospel wasn't really, it wasn't there, what we're talking about. There wasn't necessarily a soul winner in the Old Testament. So I'm making an application. But remember Jonah. Jonah was God's man, his spokesman, his prophet, his proclaimer. What did God specifically tell him to do in verse number 2? Jonah 1. Jonah's a hard book to find. Squeezed between Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. So minor prophets, maybe a little challenging to find. Especially if you're borrowing a Bible. I didn't give you the page number, but Book of Jonah, if you have somebody sitting near you and you see it, they're struggling, help them out. God, in a way, it's the same thing as today. The Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jonah was, arise, go to Nineveh. So let's apply this. Let's say you're praying, and the Lord basically speaks to you, arise, go to them. Go to your boss, go to your neighbor, go to your uncle, go to wherever. Uh-oh, you and I have the opportunity to be like Jonah. We can say, no. I don't like that person. That person's hurt me. That person's obnoxious. That person has, I'm not doing it. I don't like that person. Or we can run from it like Jonah did. No, I'm just going to push it aside. Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else go to Nineveh. Let somebody else talk to that person. Lord, I'm praying you send somebody else to them. We can be like that, but I want to challenge you not to be a Jonah Christian, meaning God said go specifically, and God said exactly what to say, by the way. Told him the message to preach in verse 2. God's already given us the message. We don't have to pray about what to say. God wants us to share the gospel. He wants us to give the good news of Christ's death, burial, resurrection, sin, salvation. We don't need to pray about that. Jonah, of course, said no, or basically Jonah said no, not me. No. Not doing it. Forget it. I'm running from it. Forget it. I'm going to stay doing what I'm doing. You got to send somebody else. But remember, God didn't say, I'm not letting you go that quick. I know you're getting on a boat. I know you're trying to go far away, but I'm God. I'm going to hunt you down. And if you remember, God sends a storm. He sends a number of things. But one of the things I want you to notice there, look at verses 8 and 9. 8, 9, and 10. So they wake him up, right? Hey, wake this guy up. What is he down there sleeping for? Verse 8, then they said unto him, these would be the sailors, tell us, we pray thee, for what cause this evil is upon us. Hey, it's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. This is some kind of, we know that this storm is not normal. It's from God. It's from a God. It's from a spirit. We got to know what's happening. Well, this is very unusual. Wake that guy up. Do you know why this is happening? Why is this evil? This is so extraordinary that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. In those days, superstition. Somebody in the boat must have done something wrong. Somebody here must be a murderer. We're going to find out why this happened. Let's cast lots and gamble. Okay, and the short stick comes up to Jonah. Now, I want you to notice verse 9. This is what happens with many of us, myself included. We do what Jonah does, but we don't soul win. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew. Today we'd say, I am a Christian. Jonah said, I fear the Lord Jehovah. Today we would say, I am a Christian. I go to church. I believe there is only one God. And all of those are good and true. But notice what he kept saying. I fear Jehovah the Lord, the God of heaven, not gods, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Hey, I am a Hebrew. I am an Abraham's seed. I'm a special race, God's people. I fear Almighty Jehovah God. He is the only God. He is Creator God. He made everything. That's great, Jonah. That's not enough. Many times we will pat ourselves on the back by just letting, we'll tell people that, neighbors and friends, and this, it's not wrong to do that, but that's not soul winning. Just to say, I'm a Christian, we go to church, we don't drink, we don't smoke, we don't go to movies, we do it here, we dress a certain way, we're politically conservative or whatever, we vote for these people, we're against abortion, we're against homosexuality, we're for pro-family, pro-marriage, we believe in creation, not evolution, woo! And there's a time and a place for that. But that's not soul winning. That's not sharing the gospel. That doesn't save anybody. And many times in our Christian realms, we're satisfied with that. We're sort of like that. I mean, Jonah had no burden for these people. He never shared one bit about the only true God. They even threw him overboard. And you know the story, he had a hard heart. All right? I'm not saying you and I have a hard heart if that's all we share, but I'm saying a lot of times we're content with that. Hey, my dentist, they know we're Christians. Hey, the hairdresser, they know I go to church. They know we're not Catholic. They know that we hold to different things. They see the sign in the yard. And you know what? There's a time and a place, and we need to take our stand on a lot of those things. That is not giving out the gospel, and we can be very duped into thinking we're, but that's not going into all the world and preaching the gospel, and the devil can make us feel real content with that. But yet the world needs not just conservatism, they need the gospel. And so sharing the gospel is getting into the gospel, introducing questions. So I don't know where to start. Do you have any spiritual beliefs? That's great. That's the number one right there. Hey, what are your spiritual beliefs? You got any spiritual beliefs? All right. Obviously, you can do more than that, but that's a great way. They'll either say yeah or no or maybe or I don't know. I keep that private. Why are you asking? Yeah, I'm Catholic. I'm Islam. I'm a Christian. You know, that's a great opener. Do you have any spiritual beliefs? Who do you think Jesus is or who do you think Jesus was? You don't even have to answer. Your goal is not even to answer. All you have to do is listen. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to give any answers back. You're just trying to get some information. You're just asking the Lord. You just ask some questions. Just let him answer. Do you believe there's a heaven or hell? Do you believe in eternity? No, I don't know about that stuff. Okay, you're just listening. All right? At that point, after two or three questions, you have an idea. You should have an idea of which direction to go. Yeah, I've got some. I keep those things private. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm religious. I'm spiritual. Oh, I pray to God all the time. Oh, don't worry about that. I go to church, and they're going to give you answers like that. Or, oh, I'm a blood-bought, born-again, Bible-believing Christian. Praise God, I'm saving them. You know, they're going to give you some answers. You'll be able to determine some things. And at that point, as you're trusting the Holy Spirit, if you've been praying for opportunities, if you've been in the Scriptures, if you've been saying, oh, God, help me, just go. Can I share the greatest thing that ever happened? Hey, bad news all the time. When's the last time someone gave you some good news? Oh, but it's been a long time. Do you mind if I share some with you? You look for some openings. You pray there. Different people, different places, different backgrounds. You just share Jesus Christ. But you got to share the gospel. You've got to share the gospel. And that doesn't mean every occasion it's going to always be there. Trust the Lord. Hey, don't put God on a timetable, but you share Christ. You share Calvary. You've got to cover sin. You can share your personal testimony. You can say, you know what? I used to be very religious. I was trusting in all kinds of things. Boy, I was devout. You hear that all the time around here, don't you? They are devout. I see it all the time in the obituaries. Devout Catholic, devout whatever. Devout. Now, what does that mean when someone's devout? I often wonder, do they ever say any of us are devout? They're a devout Christian. That usually means, wow, they go through all the, they do the rosary, do all the things you're supposed to do. I mean, they do it faithfully. They do it all the time. They do it more than most people. They're really, okay, devout, devout, devout. You might say, hey, I was that way too. I thought for sure, all in all, that I was empty. Now, they maybe have their interest piqued. Could I share just a few minutes about the greatest thing that ever happened to me? It doesn't mean that they're going to get saved. We don't save anybody anyways. It doesn't mean that on that very moment, but you're working on getting in the gospel. Perhaps it'll be, hey, we've got to go. Lunch break's over. Maybe they come back next time with a question. Again, the key to soul winning is not you and I having all the answers. It's just right here, right here, right here. It's always the Word of God. God's Word is absolutely powerful. The more you get the Word of God into your conversation, that Word of God sticks with those people. They're not going to remember all your fancy answers and debating skills and all that kind of stuff. The Word of God is what works. Answer every question with the Word of God. If you don't know the answer, get in the Word of God. Train, study, ask questions, come back with answers. The Word of God, give a verse, write them out, read this. The Scriptures is what's going to make the difference, all right, when it comes to soul winning. And so I want to encourage you in that. We're going to get to that next time. Well, how exactly do you share the gospel? We'll walk you through it. Many people know the Romans Road. That's a great one. There's many different methods in Scripture. If you're working with a Jewish person, you'll have to use the Old Testament almost exclusively. That can be a little more challenging, all right? Yes, there's some things you need to pray about. Yes, you need to put some work into that. No, you won't have every answer. But God's just looking for eager, willing vessels that say, God, the command is clear. It's trust and obey or not. I mean, there's really no other option. Either I'm trusting and obeying or I'm not. All right? And that's individual. That's being a soul winner. That's maybe going out corporately to the church, looking for opportunities, being matched up with a seasoned believer. Nothing better than, hey, Christ sent his disciples out two at a time. Two people going out together is tremendous. Having a partner, that's great. I had a chance to go out with Michael the other day during all the rain, and first time I think Michael had ever come. And we went out, we made a couple visits, and we went down here. Some of you know Teddy, maybe you don't know Teddy. I've probably been there, I don't know, 5-6 times. Nathan's been with me, Charlie's been with me. we go, this is probably the 7th or 8th time. And he rents the Kyle Kempa. And Teddy's a nice guy, he's an older gentleman, 70-some, and haven't been able to get him to church yet. We brought him a Bible, he asked for a Bible, and you know what? You know what? Michael hardly didn't roll up his mouth. You know what Michael did? He played with the German Shepherd. Because the German Shepherd was barking nonstop inside, and you couldn't hear one thing. And that dog, we would not have. You know what? He just stood over there, rubbing the dog's nose, and the dog didn't make a noise. And he took care of the dog so that I could share the gospel. That's a partner. Standing over there, maybe praying. All right? Sometimes a new person gets stuck, and the veteran just steps in and says, oh, I can answer. And you work. No one's upset because you're supposed to be out there soul winning. You're not worried about who spoke the most, who went first, who didn't. All right, your partner, person's praying, oh God, and you go out there, and you know what, just like they matches you, if you're going into plumbing, you're going in welding, I mean, you're matched up with a veteran, a seasoned person, mechanic, I mean, they match you up with somebody to learn, to apprentice. Same thing should happen really oftentimes with soul winning. Doesn't mean you have to, but it's a good way to learn, and again, there's all different types of ways. The key is the power of God, the humble spirit, and the Word of God. So I want to challenge you tonight before we get ready to have a little bit of prayer here. Do you regularly pray for lost souls? Is it just a generic, Lord, please save everybody? Lord Duryea, are you praying specifically? Are you praying, God, use me this week? Open my eyes, Lord, that I'll see the lost condition. Lord, help me rely on you. Now look, again, we can't just pray and stay in our house the whole time. The fish don't usually come to the door. Sometimes they might. You might have to be out walking around, seeing people out. It's getting a little warmer. People are outside. They're doing their yard work. Kids are playing. You go to the park. Hey, get in some conversations. Or, hey, we have, okay, see your kiddos. We have Kids for Truth program. Do your kids ever go to church anywhere? Great, we'd love to have you. Give you all, hey, check our website out. Hey, we're having a good Friday service. We'd love to have you come. Would you come sit with us? Oh, I can't sit with me. I'm in the choir, but you can watch or something like that, all right? Or we'd love to, you know, you're looking for opportunities. You may not be able to share the gospel in the full every time. You might, all right? And here's the question. Why don't you pray specifically, God, give me an opportunity this week. Now, I want to pray for it. I want to look for it. I want to anticipate it. Would you be shocked if you prayed that and God brought someone to you? Would you be shocked? I mean, if we're praying for it, we should anticipate it. We should expect it. We should be looking for it. I'll finish with this and we're going to pray. When my wife and I had just gotten married, 95, we were looking for our first car. My dad was an auto dealer, so he was like, tell me what you're looking for. We'll see if we can find something. For some reason, back then, we were enamored with the Pontiac Grand Am. Now, some of you know what that is. We were just like, oh, I love that car, the Pontiac Grand Am. We'd seen them. And now, if you know, if you ever look for certain cars, this is how it works, right? You never see them until you start looking for them. And then everywhere you go, you're like, everybody has a Grand Am. They're everywhere. And we're like, no, we don't want one of those. Everybody has one. Everybody has one. Well, you know what? We weren't looking for them until we had set our heart on it. And then everywhere we're driving, like, Grand Am, Grand Am, Grand Am. Grand Am. We're sick of Grand Ams. You know why? Because you set your heart on looking for it, and that's what you're looking for. And so what you're looking for, you often will see. There were all those Grand Ams are always out there anyways. We just hadn't really got serious about looking for it. There are lost souls everywhere. You mingle shoulders. They're all around you in school. They're in your neighborhood. You go every day with them. But you just might not be looking. You may not be praying. You may not be looking for opportunities. You're not looking, putting on the lenses of the Lord Jesus Christ, who looks at people differently than you and I look at them. What, a bunch of grouches? Why are they grouchy? Maybe they need Christ. Maybe you need to be joyful. You know, look, put on the lenses of the Bible as a soul winner, all right? So, again, doesn't mean you always have to come out with the church, but we have opportunities this year to reach Duryea and around the world, and we're excited about that. Now, we're going to spend some time, 10 minutes, it's 7:05, we're going to go to 7:15, and unless you're providentially hindered, we'd encourage you to stay here. I understand some people get very nervous, just like soul winning, when it comes to praying out loud with other people. Oh, all right, hey, it's a great opportunity to learn and grow. Doesn't mean you have to be eloquent. We often try to match up with people and think it's got to sound the same. Now, we'd like nobody to pray by themselves, all right? We'd like, if you're going to pray with your spouse, we'd like for you and your spouse to pray with another husband-wife. I think that's great in a little group. Why? It encourages you when you pray with other believers and you hear them praying, all right? You're not evaluating their prayers, but it unites your heart on a common mission. You hear them pray for a loved one, and then they hear you pray for a loved one. And then it unites your heart, and so you pray for that person during the week, and then you even do a text message. Oh, by the way, I'm praying for you today. I understand we like to do things privately, and that's fine, but there's room to grow on this, all right? It's going to be normal to be afraid to pray sometimes publicly. It's going to be afraid to pray with someone that you don't know. We normally like to pray with the people we know, and but it's good to be pushed out of that sometimes. And so I want to encourage you tonight, if you're here by yourself, I'm going to expect those that are part of the church, have been here a long time, to go seek someone out. And don't expect a visitor to come over to you and say, hey, I need you to pray with me. You've got to go to them. And this isn't a safe setting. This is a church. If we're not going to be able to just be kind and go to someone and say, I'd like to pray with you, I don't think we're going to go to somebody at the lunchroom at the business and walk up and share Christ. So this is a good icebreaker, all right? And I know we like to pray with the people we always pray with and are comfortable, and that's not a sin. But I'd like us to be in some groups of three or four. Now, if a person says, I'm not going to pray, I'll just listen. That's perfectly fine. No one's forced to pray. We don't want to force anybody to pray, all right? But we'd encourage you, you're only praying specifically tonight for a specific person or persons that the Lord may have laid on your heart, all right? It could be a child. It could be a spouse. It could be a relative. It could be a dear friend. And you might just say, not going to have time to pray for everybody. We're just going to spend a few minutes in prayer tonight as a church body, lifting up names of folks who need Christ as best we know, that we're burdened over, and we're going to ask God to send me, to send someone, to give an opportunity this week. And then you know what? You come back and you say, hey, well, I see you Wednesday night. Great, let's compare notes. I'll see you next Sunday. I'll pray all week for this person. What was that name again? Awesome. Let's see what God does this week. Let's compare notes and see how many opportunities we had. And tell me how it went. You say, oh, I'm scared. I got wimped out. And you say, oh, so did I. Let's pray some more. All right? I mean, you have a unity there that God wants to build in the church. All right? So we're going to go ahead right now. We're going to break up in groups for about 8 or 9 minutes. And then I'm going to ask, Miss Erin, if you're closest to the front here, I'm going to ask you just to come up at about 7:16, play a few notes on the piano. When you hear the piano playing, if you're praying, just wind down your prayer, and then we'll dismiss and send you on your way. Let's spend some time in prayer as a church body. Amen. I'm going to have a concluding word of prayer. If you're praying, you can wrap it up here. Father, we pray now tonight as we've lifted up individuals' names in prayer. Lord, I pray we'd jot the name down if we prayed with a partner tonight, someone else in the church. We'd not forget that name. Lord, it may be that the person said, pray for me. I'm going to see them tomorrow at work. I'm going to see them at Easter. I'm going to see them at school. Lord, may we pray specifically. May we realize, Lord, it's not going to be in our power, our might, or our crafty answers, or our eloquence. It's going to be in a humble spirit, trusting the Word of God, remembering what you said, Lord. We have all authority behind us to share the gospel because of the cross. Lord, you said, lo, I am with you always. Lord, therefore, we'll never be alone. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's power when we're filled. We have the gospel. Lord, all we are messengers. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to attempt great things for you and expect great things from you. And Lord, I pray that we would be anticipating souls saved, not because of us, but because it's your heartbeat, it's your desire. And Lord, you can draw men to you and women. Now, Lord, I pray this week, give us a burden for souls. Oh, Lord, may we expect. Give us opportunities. Oh, prompt our hearts, Lord. Open our mouths boldly that we may share the mystery of the gospel. And Lord, disciple folks to follow you. We love you and we thank you. I appreciate the opportunity we've had, Lord, to hear the prayers of your people going up to you. May we be faithful in praying. May we be faithful in sharing the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. You are dismissed. Absolutely.